During her distinguished career, she molded many gay composers such as Aaron Copland, Virgil Thompson, Giancarlo Menotti, and Leonard Bernstein. Last man standing with a banner in
the morning light. I started performing with a duo called Coyote Grace. Now I am putting out my first solo album.
Treat everyone the way you expect. We all deserve freedom, love, and respect.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Botswana recognizes a lesbi gay rights group. Joe Stevens transposes gender keys and style and stylum for hate and hope. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBT communities around the world for the week ending November 15, 2014. A lesbi gay advocacy group has won the right to exist in Botswana, a southern African nation with more than 2 million people. The country's high court ruled on November 14th that the government violated the constitutional rights of lesbians, gays, and bisexuals of Botswana by not allowing the group to register with the Department of Labor and Home Affairs, even though consensual adult same-gender sex can be punished by up to 5 years in prison under a British colonial-era penal code provision. The group's coordinator, Kane Youngman, said of their 10-year battle that, "It has been a long and arduous journey towards recognition, and we are relieved that the court has protected our rights." Annika Meerkater of the Southern Africa Litigation Center, which frequently handles human rights cases in the region, told the Morave Post that it was a landmark ruling that emphasizes the importance of the rights to freedom of expression, association, and assembly in a democracy, not just for activists in Botswana, but throughout Africa.
But in northern Nigeria, where Islamic law, known as Sharia, punishes same-gender sex with up to death by stoning, the self-proclaimed Vigilante Group of Nigeria announced this week at a press conference, marking its first anniversary, that it had taken 25 gay men into custody and handed them over to authorities for prosecution. The group describes its members as voluntary security operatives that assist in the maintenance of law and order. Sunusi Ibrahim Geza, who leads the group in Kebbi, one of the 14 northern Nigeria Muslim states, gave no details about legal proceedings against the men and would not say how his members knew that each man was gay, only that they'd been handed over to the Hizbah Commission, the government arm that implements Sharia. Same-gender sex is also illegal in Nigeria's predominantly Christian South, though the punishment there is limited to several years in prison. Goodluck Jonathan, the nation's president, signed what was condemned as a Jail All the Gays bill into law in January. It increased prison time for same-gender sex and banned marriages of same-gender couples. It also outlaws public expressions of same-gender affection and punishes advocacy for LGBT rights with up to 14 years in prison.
A gay man in Saudi Arabia has been sentenced to 3 years in prison and also ordered to pay a substantial fine for posting his nude photos on social media sites. The Muslim country's Commission for the Promotion of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice arrested the unidentified man for offering to have sex with men for free, according to the Gulf News, which referenced the recent case of another young gay Saudi man who got 450 lashes and 3 years in prison for promoting debauchery. In his case, tweeting provocative photos and, according to religious authorities who set up a sting to capture him, promoting homosexual contact. The news outlet noted that Saudi Arabia is a member of the Gulf Cooperation Council, a group of Middle Eastern nations that also criminalize homosexuality and cross-dressing. Member states include Bahrain, Oman, Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait.
Meanwhile, police officials in Taiwan's capital of Taipei have shut down a website that billed itself as Asia's largest gay lifestyle information network. The 40-year-old owner of Gayway, identified only by the surname Wang, was charged on November 9th with posting obscene images on the site to solicit clients for his erotic male massage parlor. He faces up to 2 years in jail and a fine of 20,000 New Taiwan dollars, equivalent to about $650 US. The website ostensibly contained gay Asian news, as well as information on nightlife, saunas, sex toys, spas, and massages. Police called the erotic images soliciting the massages a serious offense and promised an immediate statement to continue to crack down on internet pornography in order to purify the online environment.
In other news, New South Wales this week became the third Australian state to recognize the marriages of lesbian and gay couples legally performed elsewhere. Longtime out independent member for Sydney, Alex Greenwich, won government support for his Relationships Register Amendment, Recognition of Same-Sex and Gender-Diverse Relationships, Bill 2014, which assures that lesbian and gay couples who legally marry overseas will be able to reflect their marital status on relevant government forms and will no longer be forced to declare that they are single. Federal law defines civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual. Greenwich thanked Liberal Party New South Wales Attorney General Brad Hazard for working with him to get the bill passed and said that the inaction of federal governments past and present on marriage equality remains an embarrassing blight on our nation's reputation for fairness, freedom, and equality. The states of Queensland and Tasmania have each already recognized legally married elsewhere same-gender couples.
In a rapid review of this week's U.S. state marriage news, District Judge Richard Mark Gergel ruled on November 12th that denying civil marriage to same-gender couples in South Carolina is unconstitutional. The judge cited a previous ruling from the U.S. Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in his decision, which has jurisdiction over the Palmetto State. Governor Nikki Haley and Attorney General Alan Wilson, both Republicans, pledged to continue to defend the ban, even after the Fourth Circuit issued its pro-equality ruling.
A growing number of counties in Kansas have started to issue marriage licenses to same-gender couples. The actions followed the lifting of an emergency stay on November 12th by the U.S. Supreme Court of last week's ruling by U.S. District Judge Daniel Crabtree that struck down the Sunflower State's civil marriage ban. Republican Governor Sam Brownback and his Attorney General Derek Schmidt have also vowed to stop marriage equality in their state, even though, to paraphrase the expression, the horses seem to already be leaving the barn.
According to Mississippi's Clarion Ledger newspaper, county clerks across the Magnolia State are preparing for the possibility that U.S. District Court Judge Carlton Reeves will strike down the ban there. He heard arguments in the case on November 12th. Some clerks told the newspaper that they would need up to 2 weeks to revise marriage license forms if the judge follows almost all of his fellow district court judges and overturns Mississippi's ban. He's not indicating if he would stay an equality ruling.
U.S. District Judge Brian Morris told both sides in the challenge to Montana's ban this week that he was canceling a hearing in the case scheduled for November 20th. All the parties agreed with his belief that he already has enough information to decide the case. Equality advocates predict that the ruling will be favorable because Montana is in the Ninth Circuit's jurisdiction, and that court has already struck down bans in Idaho and Nevada.
Federal Judge Karen Schreier denied a motion on November 14th by South Dakota state officials to dismiss a marriage equality lawsuit there.
Nebraska's Republican Governor Dave Heineman is already digging in his heels against a possible overturning of the civil marriage ban in the Cornhusker state. Republican Attorney General-elect Doug Peterson also vowed to defend Nebraska's law that defines civil marriage as heterosexual only following an announcement by the American Civil Liberties Union that it will file a lawsuit in the coming week challenging the ban.
And attorneys for the same-gender couple plaintiffs asked a U.S. Supreme Court this week to review last week's aberrant Sixth Circuit Court ruling that upheld bans in Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Tennessee. About 300 couples in Michigan got marriage licenses in March after a district court ruling struck down the state ban and before a stay of the ruling was issued. Citing the Sixth Circuit decision, lawyers for newly reelected Republican Governor Rick Snyder said this week that they would go to court to have those marriages invalidated.
Elsewhere, Malaysia's Deputy Prime Minister, Mohamed Yassin, is calling for a challenge to last week's landmark Court of Appeal ruling that struck down a state's law against cross-dressing. Such laws have also been used in other states to target transgender people. Yassin urged officials in the state whose law was challenged to appeal the ruling to the federal court in the predominantly Muslim nation because of what he said was its major impact on society.
But Mexico City lawmakers approved a bill on November 13th that allows transgender people to change their gender on official documents without a court order. Members of the Legislative Assembly of the Federal District, in which Mexico City is located, approved the bill by a vote of 42-0. Six lawmakers abstained on the measure proposed by Mexico City Mayor Miguel Ángel Mancera. The federal district has become the first jurisdiction in Latin America to also allow trans people to legally change their gender on their birth certificates without a medical examination. District laws already allow same-gender couples to legally marry and ban bias based on sexual orientation and gender identity or expression.
And finally, November 11th wasn't a typical day at Japan's Fuji Hokuyo High School. On what officials called Sex Change Day, male and female students switched their standard school uniforms. Boys wore plaid skirts and neck ribbons, while girls wore slacks and neckties. The cross-dressing was voluntary, but the event still got national news coverage. 117 male and 182 female students took part. They went to class as usual, and some posted smiling photos of their sex change on social media sites. Vice Principal Hirofumi Miyashita told Japan Real Time that the day allowed participants to try something new without being bound by gender, and that this is a project for students to observe things differently.
That's News Wrap for the week ending November 15th, 2014. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap was produced this week by Wenzel Jones and Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
Hate is going out of style, even as music moves the message of liberation. But first, a marvelous mentor's rainbow history.
The Great Mademoiselle, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. Considered one of the greatest teachers of musical composition in the 20th century, Nadia Boulanger guided the careers of many of the most famous composers of her time. She was affectionately known as Mademoiselle. Born in France in 1887, she came from a long line of superbly talented musicians and began studying organ and composition at age 10. During her distinguished career, she molded many gay composers such as Aaron Copland, Virgil Thompson, Giancarlo Menotti, and Leonard Bernstein. Mademoiselle was the first woman to conduct the Boston Symphony, the Philadelphia Orchestra, the New York Philharmonic, and the BBC Orchestra. In her dying days, her students comforted her by singing Mozart, Schubert, and Schumann. In 1979, a newspaper headline read simply, "Mademoiselle is no more." The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded in the studios at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, John DeBoer.
Hello, I'm Randall Kleiser, director of Grease, Blue Lagoon, White Fang, and It's My Party, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities. Still to come this week, a stereotypically uptight preacher and an atypical twist on preteen rapping. But first, banjo-picking California trans man Joe Stevens has a passion for storytelling, and it's the backbone of his music. He shares his own narrative with correspondent Dixie Trichel, but not before we sample the title cut of his new solo CD, Last Man Standing.
Last man standing with a banner in the morning light. All his comrades fell away one by one. Hey, sometime in the night, he's got a half a mind and get a handle on this day. But it's all a ruse, and to cure his blues, he will spend the day fading away. So many revelations found in the fog that he can barely recall. The world is awake and it's time to get moving along. There's no hope in these days, these satirical plays. You can never make a right of a wrong. Hey, 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 hey. Well, is a hell-bent spend the wrench shenanigans and nonsense ways. Like a tarnished bell don't wear so well for a man of his age. He's done enough of thinking to know what's going on. But every fall escape and damn last day has kept the years wearing on.
I started performing with a duo called Coyote Grace with Ingrid Elizabeth. We started up in Seattle and eventually became a trio. We toured nationally for about 8 years, I believe, was our running. We did some great stuff with the Indigo Girls and Melissa Ferrick and Chris Pirica and other great performers. Now I am putting out my first solo album, so that's very exciting. Coyote Grace put out 5 records. This will be my first solo record.
Will you be doing the lead singing, having a band with you, or are you just going totally solo?
The CD is a mix of full band and solo stuff, but for this big 3 month kickoff tour, I'm going to be solo. I have some friends in different parts of the country that are going to sit in with me.
Tell us a little bit about where you're touring and who you're playing with, what you're going to be playing.
I left California on August 6th, and I'll be home around November 6th. And I'm starting up a leg that's going to go from Iowa to Minneapolis. I will eventually make my way over to Virginia and the Carolinas, do some shows around in that area, and go as far as Boston, and then start making my way back towards the West Coast. I'll come back through Colorado, go up north to Washington, and then back home to California.
And people want to see this full schedule. It's on your website?
Yes, joestevensmusic.com. The album is called Last Man Standing, and the title track to the album, it's a really fun tune about kind of wrestling with personal demons and getting over drinking problems and the moving on factor. A lot of the songs, you know, they've got some banjo in them. They're alt Americana, if you will, but with a twist. And I'm on my own journey starting out as a solo musician. The songs on the album, some of them I wrote a long time ago, and some of them are very recent. That was kind of the mix of songs that wanted to be on the project. I am a trans man. I'm transgendered. And one of the songs is a really fun project where I took an old recording and I wove it into a new arrangement with my new voice. It has my voice before it changed, as well as my voice post-transition. It's a really fun song to do. That one's called Can't See the Train. So it's kind of a mixed bag of old and new.
What made you decide to do a solo CD?
You know, Coyote Grace has been not touring for the last 2 years. We've done a few things here and there, but people's lives have changed and we aren't able to tour as much. But I, being a terminal songwriter, I just have all of this material, and Coyote Grace wasn't looking like we were going to make an album soon, so I just made my own. And I've got one more coming on the heels of this one that I'm working on.
And what's the name
already
of that one?
I've started a project called Songs of the People. I interview somebody and I write a song about their experience. And so I want to put out an album of these. I've got about 9 of them already. And I keep collecting these great songs of stories by interesting people. So all the songs are written by me, but they're all about these specific people's stories. And I'd like to put that out on a compilation album. That would be lots of fun. And that will be Songs of the People, hopefully Volume 1. I'd love to continue to do it.
When do you imagine that would come out?
Maybe the summer or the fall of next year.
Mm-hmm. That's a fantastic idea. How do you get them? Do you walk up to people on the street, or how does that happen?
I sent out an announcement about it over my mailing list, and people responded. And then there's been a fair amount of word of mouth. Friends of friends of friends who have heard about it and want a song for some occasion or another, or to process something in their lives. It's kind of just organically spread. It's been a real great thing to be able to write songs for other people in this Songs of the People project. And it's been really challenging for my writing. I think I've written some really great songs out of it. I'm happy to be back on the road and happy to be playing shows again after this 2-year lull. There's actually a documentary that is coming out next year. It's called Real Boy. This woman followed me and a young guy named Ben Wallace around for over 2 years now, and he is a young trans guy. He was just starting his transition and trying to come up with money for his transition, and he played and wrote songs. So I helped him record an album that helped fund his transition and get him on the road to being a musician. That documentary is coming down the pipe, and it's in the editing process, and there's links to it on my website. It's exciting. It's strange to be a part of a documentary because I kind of don't remember what I said at all, but I hope it's going to be good.
Yeah, that sounds
fair. So that'll be coming out next year.
The new CD right now, Last Man Standing, is that available for people to purchase at this time?
It's available on cdbaby.com, where you can purchase a physical copy of it, and on iTunes.
You want to talk about what inspires you?
As I go along, more and more what I find inspires me is songs. And it's the stories in the songs that speak to people. And they speak to people because the human experience, despite differences in details, is basically the same experience, and people have the same emotional responses to things, and people have been writing songs since they started singing. Songs and music is my calling.
There's no chance, no way, no prayer for today, no road, no light, just a fog. Man standing with a banner in the morning light. Well, he's all alone with no way home, and he's plumb out of fight. The lonely hearts of the other people on this road, may they find their way and maybe someday be free from the weight of the load.
That was Joe Stevens with Last Man Standing from his CD of the same name, and in conversation with Dixie Trichel. His website is joestevensmusic.com.
Oops.
If the ridiculous to the sublime is your thing, we've got two very different takes on sexuality and gender to close the show this week. A rapping 8-year-old trans boy from a summer camp for gender-variant youth will provide the sublime, after Jehovah's Witness governing body member Anthony Morris III brings us the ridiculous, in an excerpt from a sermon titled, Is Your Family a Spiritual Family? The difference between Spanx and spandex is not the only thing Morris is confused about.
Look at the verse. Is that appropriate? To wear skin tight, Spanx or whatever they call it, that's not modest, and it's certainly not sound of mind. Now, you want to be in your home or your room and wear that stuff, that's your business. But don't go out in public like that and say you worship the true God. Inappropriate. And the other one that needs addressing, it's the metrosexual look. We've addressed that in the past. We've said things about it. That's the tight suit jacket and the tight pants. They are tight. I mean tight, all the way down to the ankles. And that is not modest, brothers. No. It's not appropriate. It's not sound of mind. But like I've been telling others, and this is a fact, the homosexuals that are designing these clothes, they like you in tight pants. That's who likes it. Not spiritual people. So this is something to consider with dressing, grooming. Is it appropriate? Is it modest? Does it display soundness of mind? If not, do something about it. If you're a spiritual family.
Now, I know all you folks are the right kind of parents. I'm going to be perfectly frank. Would you like to know what kind of conversation goes on while they're loafing around that hall? They were trying out Bevo, trying out Cubabs, trying out TaylorMades like cigarette fiends, and bragging all about how they're going to cover up a telltale breath with scents. And one fine night, they leave the pool hall, heading for the dance at the Armory. Libertine men and scarlet women and ragtime. Shameless music that'll grab your son, your daughter, with the arms of a jungle animal instinct, mass hysteria.
I'm going to be rapping a song that me and my mom worked together about how I came out and told her that I was transgender.
Where's
and
mom?
Right there.
Stand up!
Love you! So I have a little story I'd like to share about something I went through that might seem pretty weird. Please try to imagine if this were you, or you may have something that you can relate it to. So I was just a little kid about 7 or 8, and I had something to say that could no longer wait. So I went to my mom that hot day in July with a hope in my heart and a tear in my eye. Basically, I said, this girl is your son, and I've always felt this way, and I had some fun. We sat there together for a little while. I thought she was sad, but then I saw her smile. She told me I was brave and that she was so proud that I came to her so she can help me sort things out. My family and friends were also on board, and the support that I got just had me full. And from that day on, I started my path, and we worked together and even faced some rocks. Together we can work through whatever this life brings, and we'll continue to love, and I'll continue to sing. And I know that there are other kids who feel like I do, and I truly understand what they are going through. Thank you all for sitting here and taking the time to let me tell my message in the form of a rhyme. Please treat everyone the way you expect. We all deserve freedom, love, and respect.
That was 8-year-old trans boy Alex's amazing rap about coming out to his mother. Not surprisingly, his performance at the gender variant Camp Aranutik has become a viral video sensation. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. This week, Carol Myers, Wenzel Jones, John DeBoer with Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, Randall Kleiser, and Dixie Trichel contributed program material, with thanks, as always, to Steve Pride. You heard music by Joe Stevens and from The Music Man, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and our generous listeners for making this program possible. Log on to thiswayout.org for more news and information, including how to find us on Facebook, Google+, Stitcher Radio On Demand, and more. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WFCS New Britain, Connecticut, KSOW Cottage Grove, Oregon, Switch 1197 AM Brisbane, Queensland, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.